So pray for me.
Help me, Lord.
That God would get me through this.
Yes.
He wanted me to do this, and he wanted me to preach this message. And I remember one evening I was preaching at Crossroads Baptist Church, and all of a sudden, it started hailing. I mean, it was hailing so hard. It filled up the downspouts. It filled up the eavesdrops. It was running over in the parking lot, and everybody was jumping up and running and looking out at their cars. I just stopped, and I said, Lord, this is your message, and these are your people, and if you want your people to hear your message, then stop the hail. It stopped that quickly. My granddaughter Tegan was sitting in probably the second or third row, and she says, wow, Papa. It had nothing to do with Papa. Had everything to do with God. And I've learned how to take an offering. These kids filled that basket plumb full now. But everything has gone along with my message this morning, the music. I've seen her come in. I've seen her come through that door. Where'd she go? Oh, she's in there. I seen her come through that door a while ago, and I said, Jerry, she can really sing. I hope she sings this morning. And she did. And both of those messages go a little bit in line with my message. Or both of those songs go a little bit in line with my message. The ladies' Sunday school class, you might as well turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's what they were teaching on this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But they didn't get as far as I'm going to get, I don't think. Oh, glory. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'll just get me a springboard here. Hey, this is pretty good. We got 43 on the enroll. We got more than 43 here this morning. That's the way we ought to keep it, you know it? I'm going to get a little springboard here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 4. And the Bible says this, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Now that's pretty wise, isn't it? That's just about what we all ought to do. And that's what we just heard sung about. Hey, when you're in that storm, when you're in that sea, when you're in that valley, wherever you're at, a good thing to do is ask the Lord. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. All around the entire area of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, can you imagine if all around Knoxville, people came to seek the Lord? Can you imagine the consequences? Can you imagine the consequences? I remember one time I was pastoring in Cahokia, Missouri, and it was a big drought going on. There was no rain for a long, long time, and the farmers, they were so worried about it. And so I called a prayer meeting up at the town square. Said, everybody, all you farmers, let's go up the town square and let's pray for rain. Well, guess what? They all got up there on the town square, and we prayed for rain, and guess what? It rained. Last time they showed up there, they got what they wanted, and I guess they were through with God for a while. That's kind of the way we do sometimes, isn't it? You know, we ask God for something, and God gives it, and then, well, we don't need you for a while longer, so we'll just put you back in the spare tire holder, and when we need you again, we'll get you out. Now, we got a big sudden news here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's going to be a great invasion. And this news came to Jehoshaphat. And like a true man of God, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. The people quickly came together and the whole nation earnestly cried to the Lord for his help. Oh my, give us a godly nation again, Lord. Give us a godly nation again, Lord. Let the entire nation come together and pray to you for help again. Our country is so wicked, we need it so badly. This chapter begins with danger and fear and trouble all around, but it ends with joy and peace and quiet and rest. Two words seem to stand out. They are praise and prayer. But there's a little word that connects these two words. It links them together, and it's faith. And when you got praise, prayer, and faith, we can conquer and climb mountains. They ask help. They express their confidence in God. And Jehoshaphat cried out, he says in verse 6, "Art not thou God in heaven? Aren't you the God that we're supposed to go to? Hey, Lord, we're putting all of our trust and all of our faith and all of our confidence in you because you're the one that we're supposed to go to. Art not thou God in heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might?" Well, Jehoshaphat knew where to go to pray, didn't he? He knew who to call upon. And he knew what he wanted. And if God's got the power and the might, well then stand still and see what God can do. They pleaded his past actions. "Art not thou our God whom didst drive out the inhabitants of the land?" Lord, I need your help. Brenda, your grandson needs God's help. I remember one time my daughter was probably 3 or 4 years old. And my wife calls me. I was working out at Alcoa Aluminum Company in Davenport, Iowa. And my wife calls me and she says, "Now don't get too shook up, but I just had Tammy at the doctor, and he said, get her to the hospital right away." Yeah. "Don't worry too much. Your little girl might be dying." And my little 68 Chevelle, it flew down River Drive into Bettendorf, Iowa. And I got out of my car, and I walked toward my house, and there stood Bob Van Hook. "You're not supposed to worry now, but there's somebody from the church, the man that led me to the Lord, to meet me." And I thought, oh no. My daughter died. What do I do now? Bob Van Hook came over and he kind of consoled me because my daughter didn't die. It's just, you know, the thought. You always think the worst. Especially if somebody said, "Don't worry." Yeah, you're going to worry. You're going to worry more than any other time. And my daughter's white blood count was skyrocketed high. And my wife looks at the doctor and says, "Does this mean what I think it means?" He says, "You let me worry about that and you get her over to the hospital." And Bob Van Hook and I laid down in my front yard. I was a young Christian. I didn't know anything to do except go to God. Well, that's pretty wise. And we lay there prostrate upon the grass. And I just began to cry. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to take care of her. I couldn't do anything. But you know what? I had a God that could. I had a God that could. And not long after we got up, my wife calls and she says, well, her blood count's normal. Now, you can think whatever you want to think, but I know what happened. God answered our prayers. And you see, what do we do when we can't handle the situation ourselves? What do we do? I mean, here we have Judah and Israel, and they're going to be attacked, and the word comes to Jehoshaphat, and he knows that they don't stand a prayer in a hand-to-hand combat battle. So he pleaded the past actions of God. Lord, aren't you the one that drove them out of here to begin with? Lord, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before? God, you did it before, do it again. And we need to use this particular plan in our prayer life. We need to use this particular plan when we need God to answer. Because folks, let's face it, we're pretty inept when it comes to taking care of the problems that come our way. And they urged the promise again at the dedication of the temple. They claimed that same promise. And it says in verse 9, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear, but it don't stop there, and help. Lord, we're going to stand here and we're going to claim the promise that you have given to us. We're going to claim it, Lord, that you care about us. We're going to claim it, Lord, that you love us. And we're going to stand here and we're going to claim the promise. And we're expecting deliverance. We are expecting our promise. We're expecting you to hear. And we're expecting you to help. And now, another wise thing that they needed to do was confess their own condition. They acknowledged their danger and how little power they really did have. In verse 12 of chapter 20, it says, for we have no power against this great company. Lord, there is nothing that we can do. Lord, we don't have the ability to win this battle. So Lord, you've got to do it for us. You've got to fight the battle for us. Amen. We have no power. Goes on and says, neither know we what to do. Well, they're doing something they should have been doing, aren't they? They're already doing something they should have been doing. That's talking to God and asking God for help. Whenever you don't know what to do, just go to God. Best plan you can ever have. Best plan you can ever have. Go to God. Neither know we what to do. They didn't have any allies. Nobody was on their side. And all Judah, verse 13, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now let me point out something here. They stood there with their children and their wives. This just added to the burden. Oh my. Is my entire family going to be destroyed? Are my little ones and my wife going to be destroyed too? And they stood there with their entire families. And here comes the enemy. And the enemy was so great, they didn't know what to do. They had no plan. They had only one chance. Verse 12, we'll back up. but our eyes are upon Thee. Our eyes are upon Thee. Lord, we don't have any power. We don't have any plan. But our eyes are upon You. We see You, Lord. We're looking for You, Lord, to help. A lot of times, when we don't have a plan and we have no power, all we got to do is stand and look for God. Stand and look for God to intervene on our behalf. They asked for help. They received help. I'll never get through this verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. Woo! Ain't that something? Ye shall not need to fight. You don't have to fight. Your little ones are going to be okay. Your wife's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. God says in verse 17, ye have no need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. For the Lord will be with you. Man, I love that. I love that. Hey, where's that guy at? I think it's you back there running us out. Got to go to court? Hey, there's no need for you to fight that battle. There's no need. You don't have to fight. Gotta take care of it. Gotta take care of it. There's no need for you to fight in this battle. You know, the old devil comes and he attacks us, doesn't he? The old devil, he's mean. He don't like us, does he? He's mean. And he attacks us any way, shape, or form that he can. But hey, we don't have to fight him. Let God do it. There's no need for us to fight in this battle. I love it. I love it. And God gave assurance to Jehoshaphat. There's no need for you to fight in this battle. Just set yourselves. Stand ye still. Hey, just stand there and watch what I do. Hey, y'all, just stand still and watch what I'm going to do. When these people come to attack you, watch what I'm going to do. Don't worry about fighting. You don't need to fight. The battle is the Lord's here. He said, fear not, verse 17, nor be dismayed. Hey, don't get all upset. Those little ones are going to be okay. Those little ones are going to be okay. God's going to take care of them. They're safe. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Just have courage. Keep the faith. And then they received help by urging them to greater faith. Verse 20. Believe in the Lord, your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. I like that. I like that because the prophets here are kind of like the same as preachers today. Believe your preacher. Support your preacher. See, if I keep saying that kind of stuff, he'll have me come back and preach. Believe the prophets. Believe what they tell you. There's no pastor worth his salt going to teach you falsely. If he does, it's your fault. You're supposed to make sure he's preaching what he's supposed to be preaching and preaching what the Word of God says. He might not like that. Now you'll be checking up on him all the time. Sorry, Joshua. He calmed their fears. He told them to keep the faith. He urged them to greater faith. Just believe, so shall ye be established. And then listen to what he says. He gave them specific directions. Look at verse 16. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. God told them exactly where they were at. Hey, we can get a sneak attack. We can take care of them. God gave them specific directions. Well, guess what? God gives us specific directions. All we got to do is take the direction book. Oh, I forgot. Men don't like to read directions, do they? Here's the directions. All we got to do is follow it. Follow the directions that God has given to us. And then God delivered them. The Moabites and the Ammonites slew the Edomites, and Israel triumphed without striking a blow. Israel's enemies killed each other. The Edomites and the Moabites, they killed each other. The Ammonites, Israel's long, long enemies. Look at verse 23 and 24. The Bible says here, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." They killed them all. Verse 24. "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude." Yeah. There's no need for you to fight in this battle. "Behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped." God said, "You don't need to fight this battle. No need for you to go out there and put your life on the line. I'll take care of this." So he had his enemies and Israel's enemies and Judah's enemies destroy each other. And when Judah walked up there, all they saw were dead bodies everywhere. Kind of like verse 17 says, you don't need to fight in this battle. What a joy to know that God will fight the battle for us and gain for us the victory. Because there's sometimes when we're so inept, we can do nothing except talk to God. I have no power in myself, but God's got all power. And how did they act because of this help? They had a worship service. Verse 18, the Bible says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Showed humbleness. He bowed down and he put his face clear down on the ground. He was thanking God. He was thanking God. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The people followed what the leader was doing. And they had a worship service right there. They had a worship service right there. They praised before they received the mercy. In verse 21, he appointed singers. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And then in verse 21 again, "And they went forth. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and they that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the enemy." Now I want you to get this picture. Boy, this is neat. This is really something. Here this whole army. This All of these people. All the from Judah and from Israel. They're walking out towards where the battlefield is. They're marching and they're singing and they're praising God. Can you imagine what the enemy might think when here comes this great band of people and they're singing praises unto God? I wonder what the old devil thinks when he hears us up here in the choir singing. Actually, that choir got me fired up just a little bit. I'm not as fiery as I normally would be, but listen, folks, I'm so excited that I don't have to fight the battles. I'm so excited that I can stand still and watch God do His work. Jehoshaphat bowed his head, so did all of Judah. They praised the Lord. The singers were appointed, and they went forth singing and praising God in the wilderness. I'd kind of like to seen that, wouldn't you? I'd kind of like to seen that. They saw the promise fulfilled, verse 24. They looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Well, God took care of us again. God said we wouldn't have to fight. God said all we had to do is stand still and watch. And God answered what He said He was going to do. And they saw the dead bodies everywhere. And I kind of like verse 25 too. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. God even rewarded them. God even gave them abundance above what their need was. Now, folks, when we have a need and when we have a problem that we can't handle, which is just about any of them, we have an outline right here of what to do. Let's go to God. Let's go to God and watch God take care of that need. And not only that, then He blessed them with spoil so great that it took them 3 days to gather it. Now look at verse 27, 28. I'm almost done. Verse 26, they blessed the Lord. Verse 27, then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Now they're having a revival service, folks. They've seen what God has done. You know, up here in Bristol, they're having revival services right now. They had 12 saved Wednesdays, 17 saved Thursday, and I don't know how many yesterday. I was busy moving. But listen, they're singing and praising God, and they come back with their harps and their psalteries and everything. And they're praising the Lord for what God has done. When was the last time we really got down to business and praised the Lord for what God has done? And then in verse 30, they rested. It's always a good thing to do. Always a good thing to do. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. For his God gave him rest round about. And verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now, folks, I really believe if Christendom was what it ought to be, the world would fear us. I really believe if Christendom was what it ought to be, that the news media would fear us. And James, they wouldn't be talking about the darkness and the light. We'd just be in the light. If we'd be what God wants us to be. So may we learn from this incident and practice as they did with all the reliance upon God. Is there not a cause for our assembling together here this morning? To plead against our enemies. And those enemies might be complacency in our own lives. Unconcern, laziness, stinginess. I say, call on the Lord this morning for Him to fight the battle. I have no idea what you're going through. But I know this morning that somebody needed this message. Might we pray, Lord, fight our battle. Cause us to have a new heart full of zeal and excitement. And this morning I say to you, you come and you ask God, Lord, fight my battle. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. Lord, I don't have a plan. Lord, I don't have any power. But Lord, you've got all power. So Lord, would you fight my battle this morning? Whatever it is we're going through, give it to God. Lay it on this altar. Give it to the Lord and say, oh God, fight my battle. Fight my battle. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. I just ask that you just slip out, come up, and pray to the Lord. Let's all stand. That's one part of it. That's one part of getting up here, is standing. Just slip on out now. Say, oh God, my family needs you. My child needs you. My husband needs you, Lord. Lord, I've got a cause that I can't handle. I've got a cause that's too big for me. So, Lord, let me stand still and watch you fight. Let's sing the first verse.